Luke chapter 2, verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. He was running out of money. It was for taxes. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in strips of cloth and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good tidings of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord, the Messiah. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her mind. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. The Christmas story, at least part of it. We talked a lot about it just a couple of days ago on Sunday morning. But you know how the story goes. It looks something like what you see on the screen behind me. You know, shepherds out in a nice, placid little field looking at a star. Three wise men. And so the story goes. They arrived on a starry night in Bethlehem, Mary and Joseph, and Mary carried on the back of a donkey and were relegated to childbirth in a barn because of the public overnight facilities were full and the innkeeper was grouchy, right? At least that's what we like to hear and what we're told. However, Joseph had to go to Bethlehem, and this is where we pick up our story from last Sunday. Joseph had to go to Bethlehem because he had to register for a taxation that Caesar Augustus was putting on the entire Roman Empire. He needed to raise funds for basically, as you've heard the expression, bread and circuses and all the other trappings that keep an emperor in favor with the people despite the taxation. And so Joseph, who is betrothed to Mary, but now legally married to her. Remember, we talked about the betrothal. And the angel spoke to Joseph in a dream and said, "Don't be afraid to marry her. Take her as your wife." And so he did. And remember, it was like an elopement. Oh, the weddings back then were absolutely hilarious. They were so loud, so raucous, so joyful. Parades down the street in the middle of the night, feasts that would go on for 7 days and night, the whole thing. None of that happened with them because Mary turns up pregnant in the middle of their betrothal, which is a year where they're legally married but are not allowed by custom to live as husband and wife. And Mary hasn't given birth yet. And suddenly, as Joseph and Mary have been enduring disgrace and doing so obediently to God, oh, the pain must have been terrible, but they knew what they were doing was perfect. It was right. God showed up in a dream to Joseph via an angel. The angel Gabriel himself came and stood with Mary and told her what was going on. And both of them obeyed the Lord. And yet the shame and the disgrace of their situation, people thinking it's Joseph's child, and they had a child or about to have one out of wedlock. And that was shameful to the entire village and to them. And yet, they stuck to it. They obeyed the Lord. And again, as we said last Sunday morning, what a lesson there is in that for us. When God says, I want you to obey me no matter what. It's hard. But the fruit that will come from it, you can't imagine. And then, this taxation, this census. And Joseph now is forced to go down to Bethlehem, but he's not leaving Mary alone. Remember, the circumstances surrounding their wedding at this point, their marriage, is difficult, shameful. He can't leave her alone in the village because, frankly, it's unlikely anyone would really take care of her at this point. Shame. So he takes her with him. Now, you picture them walking through the deserts on, you know, Mary on the back of a donkey. They caught a caravan. It's like catching a bus. This is what they had to do. And the caravans ran up and down these roads that ran north and south through Israel. And running down south, but actually they will say up too, even though it was south, in the direction of Jerusalem. Bethlehem is only 5 miles south of Jerusalem. It's very, very close to Jerusalem. Bethlehem, O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. And shining stars overhead, the beautiful little manger and cows mooing. Bethlehem is still considered the greatest tourist disappointment in the known world, and always has been. Bethlehem has been a scrubby little village since the very beginning, specializing in shepherds. The hills surrounding Bethlehem, and Bethlehem is on a very steep, craggy amphitheater of a hill. It's sort of like a big, like it looks like a theater almost. And yet all around are terraces and sheepfolds. Everywhere you look, man-made towers, caves that have been hollowed out of the soft limestone where you could put sheep in overnight. Big on shepherds. Sheep were used in Bethlehem for sacrifices. Other sheep were used for regular sheepy purposes, whatever those are. Shaun the sheep. And Joseph goes to Bethlehem because he has relatives there. Now, Joseph's father and his closest family is no doubt living in Nazareth, because that's where he was living. That's where he becomes betrothed to Mary. That's where eventually they marry. And they eventually live. Now, Joseph had family in Nazareth. But people had family all over the place back in those days. Even though it was different tribal areas, it doesn't mean that you have to stay in a particular area. And Joseph had family in Bethlehem. So when he arrives in Bethlehem with the caravan with Mary, they're on foot now, getting away from the camels or whatever it is that they were riding to get down there. And now they're on foot, and they walk into the town, and Joseph seeks out his relatives, probably cousins, aunts, uncles, something like that. Now, when it says that they there was no room for them in the inn. The word inn is a word that some of you are very familiar with. It's called, we've talked about it a lot, it's called cataluma. A cataluma is merely a guest room. And guest rooms in people's houses were usually elevated rooms. They were sort of, the houses were kind of split level back in those days, not for looks, but out of practicality. And the higher rooms were your guest rooms because it was honorable. Now, Joseph has family. But he has extended family. Everybody is piling into the town, including other cousins, maybe brothers and sisters, aunts, uncles, whoever, nephews, nieces. And they're going to go to his relative's house. And ancient Middle Eastern hospitality and Middle Eastern hospitality today won't let you leave someone out on the street. We got no room here. Go stay in a barn. Not going to work that way. Here's family. It would be shameful, dishonorable under any circumstances to turn away a family member, even if that family member had done something that they perceived as shameful, which hadn't happened. Remember, Jesus is pregnant, Mary's pregnant with Jesus by the Holy Spirit. This is a holy thing. She's still a virgin, but they don't know that. And even as Joseph comes and knocks on the door and says, I'm here, I need a place to stay, they won't turn him out. But the cataluma, the guest room in the house is packed full of people, all relatives. They're crammed into this place. There's no place else to stay except not the upper room, not the mezzanine area, but the stable. Stable? Yeah. It's not out back, though. It's in the house. And this is very important, too, because we don't know when Christmas actually took place, when Jesus was actually born. This is a convenient time of year to remember it. Don't go telling me it's pagan or anything like that. Most of what we do has pagan roots. Which one are you going to throw out? You see, it's lost its meaning as far as its pagan stuff goes, and it's been completely overwhelmed by actually a very holy and sacred meaning. So that's fine with me. But back in those days, people didn't keep birthdays. We mentioned this on Sunday morning. At least the Hebrews didn't. The Romans did. The Hebrews thought they were kind of pagans, so they said, yeah, we're not going to keep track of birthdays. Jesus was born around a certain time of year, and we don't know when it was. But if the shepherds are in the field at night, it's not that cold outside. And that means it's probably not around this time of year. In fact, around September in Jerusalem and Bethlehem, it can feel like Mississippi in the deep south in August. And you just can't wait for it to be nighttime because then it starts to cool off and it gets the humidity drops. So whatever time of year they came, probably late in the year, but not at this time of year, that there's no place to stay except in the barn. Now, people in villages were packed in tight, and you don't house your animals outside the village. They will be eaten by predators, or they'll be stolen, or they'll escape. You can't do that. You bring them in the house at night. But houses being split level, you can go to Israel and see these things today. You can actually walk inside of restored homes. The lowest room in the house is the first room you come through when you walk through the door. Usually passing by a kitchen arrangement, and boom, the floor drops, and there you've got this sort of dead-end room. Well, that was a stable. And if you had sheep, you had goats, you had maybe chickens, an ox, a donkey, you'd bring them in at night, you'd put them in there. Now, when it did get cold, by the way, there were big open windows, just big square windows, no glass or slats in it or anything, that went between this low room and the higher rooms of the house because the animals give off a tremendous amount of body heat. It was a natural heating system when it did get cold. So it served a purpose. Not only security, but air conditioning. So the houses smelled really bad, but that was normal. Well, down there where the animals are, nobody's living down there but the animals. And it would be disgraceful to put any decent guest in there, but there's no room in the house. She's pregnant. Joseph is a relative. All we got is this, but we're not putting you out on the street. Jesus was born in one of these stable-like rooms in Joseph's relative's house. Not out in a field, Not out in a cave. It could have been a cave, by the way, but house built over the top of it, perhaps. That's a possibility. But this is where he is, among the animals. Jesus was born there. A manger. Yeah, some of you know this. When we picture mangers, little wooden troughs, right? That's European. It's very European. As a matter of fact, it's kind of Northern European because they got a lot of wood. Go to Israel, where's the wood? It's stone. It's just a stone trough. Some of you have seen it. It could be oval, scooped out. You can put water in it because it'll hold water. You can put straw in it because it'll hold straw. Other types of feed in it. It could be square, rectangular, could be high, could be low, depending on whether you have a horse or a donkey or something. You want to use it for multiple purposes, you could do that. But it was made out of stone. And this ended up being Jesus' bed. Put straw in it, weeds, whatever they put in it. And when he was born, they wrapped him up in strips of cloth, which was their tradition. And they laid him in that, in his house. Shepherds, they're out in the fields at night, guarding the flocks. And the angel of the Lord could have been Gabriel. This angel is not identified. All we know is this angel appears to be rather excited about what's going on. Of course, the shepherds, they're terrified. This angel shows up, and it's at night, and they can see him, and he's scary, which kind of gives us a clue that his appearance is not quite like a normal person. Now, we're not talking about big old wings. The winged angels are cherubim and seraphim, and maybe this is one of them. Mighty angel, an archangel type of a person. But either way, he probably glowed in the dark just fine. And the shepherds are terrified. And of course, he says, hey, don't be afraid. Fear not, for I bring you good tidings, great joy, which will be to all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, right there. Because they're around it. It's right there. And it's more like a village. It's the city of David, but it's where David grew up. But it's a village. Savior, the Messiah. The Lord, he's there. And the sign to you is going to be you'll find this baby wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a manger. Christ, Messiah, the Lord, in a manger. He's in a barn, in a house, somewhere up there in that village. He's not in the royal palace. He's not in a guest room. He's in this barn-like area. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill towards men, or on whom his favor rests. Either's right. But the angels came to shepherds. Now, we know that really in that part of the world, in that age, the lowest form of human life was a slave that was a foot washer. And I'm not going to go into that detail because I think most of you understand that part. We've talked about it many times. But outside of being a slave, in that particular society, the lowest form of human life was a shepherd. They had really bad habits and they smelled really bad. And when I say they had really bad habits, think of, well, let's say a sailor away at sea for a few months coming home with the flock, with the ship, right? They were uncouth. They were considered quite unclean. In fact, one of the reasons why the children of Israel under Jacob, eventually Moses leading them out, the children of Israel went into a place called Goshen. When they went down into Egypt, and Joseph said, settle in Goshen. Why? Because they despised, the Egyptians despised herdsmen, which were what the people of Israel were. They were herdsmen. Now they're settled in their own land, but they still have herdsmen. And these shepherds, nobody likes them. They're just low. They're dirty. They're out there in the middle of nowhere. They're not sophisticated like we are in our villages and doing our crafts and doing our trades and whatever it is that we do, our mercantile. Ah, they're just out there keeping the stinky sheep and the goats. Even if they are used for sacrifices, they're not out there in nice, clean robes and clean shaven and smelling good. And many of them are children. Don't forget that. They had chief shepherd overseers who actually helped kids keep the flocks. You ever notice with David, when he was anointed king, he was out with the flocks. His older brothers, all of them were in the house. He was out with the flocks. Why? He's a kid. He's just a kid. Because it was so undignified, an adult wouldn't want to do it. Send the kids. That's the deal. And this angel appears to them. Lowest of the low. Where is Jesus born? In the lowest room, among animals. Not among guests. Not, as we talked about on Sunday, in any honorable way as far as the world was concerned, as far as God was concerned, it was perfect. I find it interesting that the circumstances under which Jesus was conceived and all that Mary and Joseph went through were something that only the most despised people had to endure, even though they had done nothing wrong. They had suddenly been forced to the lowest common ground in the world, and that of shame. And then displaced and moved back down to Bethlehem, they can find no place in an honorable guest room, even for a pregnant woman about to give birth, probably in labor at the time, go down among the animals. Why? There's no room there, and nobody's going to give them room because of their shameful estate. There's nothing shameful about it, but that's the perception, remember. And they end up in the barn in the house. And she gives birth there. Lowest of the low, in the lowest place, the lowest birth, under shameful circumstances. And here comes the King of the universe, born into this world. And an angel announces it, not to the king, not to the emperor, certainly not, not to the Pharisees or the Sadducees or all the holy men who were there in Jerusalem only 5 miles away. He announces it to the shepherds in the surrounding fields and says, here's the sign. You need to go look. You'll find the baby lying in a manger because you wouldn't normally find a baby lying in a manger. It's too shameful. It's too low. And it'll be wrapped in swaddling clothes or strips of cloth. And that's low too. So the shepherds rejoice. They're amazed. They're stunned. They saw the angel. They go into Bethlehem. They invade the village. It's at night because the Bible said it was at night. What are they doing? They're pounding on every door in the village in the middle of the night. Have you got a baby in here? Can you imagine how annoying that was? These stinky, low-grade shepherds going into the town, even children, waking everybody up. Where's this baby? In a manger, in the barn, where a baby shouldn't be ever. The lowest, looking for the one who was born the lowest. Jesus is for everyone. He's not for holy people, he is for sinners. He's not for clean people, he's for the dirtiest people in the world. And I'm not talking about physically, even though that could count. In fact, it even goes further than that. Once Jesus had grown up, and just after his baptism and his temptation, and he's gone into ministry, as God has brought him into that 3-year ministry that he had before he went to the cross, an extraordinary thing happened in a place called Samaria, where a woman came to a well where Jesus happened to be sitting on the well cap. In the middle of the day, a Samaritan woman. Samaritans, as far as the Jews were concerned, were low. You don't even talk to them. You don't let your robes touch them. They're semi-pagan. They're bad people. Half-breeds, they would call them. And I know that's terribly derogatory, and that was their attitude towards them. And this woman comes up, and she is not only a Samaritan, but as Jesus revealed to her right to her face, she was highly immoral, messed up. Yet, he speaks to her, he baits her to find out who he really is and what he has to offer: eternal life, the Holy Spirit, salvation, the way, the only way to the Father. And in the end, she, being illiterate, steeped in sin, a Samaritan who doesn't even understand her own theology and her own religion, she finally says, "You know, I know the Messiah is coming. And when he comes, he'll explain it." And Jesus looks her right in the eye, and for the first time in his entire ministry and his life, he says, "I who speak to you am he. I'm the Messiah." And who does he reveal that to? Not to a king, not to the religious leaders, not to the holy people, but to the most lowly, despised, sinful outcast. The pattern continues, and it continues, and it continues. Even the lowest, most unclean, most unworthy, wicked sinners could be saved from the guilt and shame of their sins and have eternal life. That's why he came. Anyone can get saved. But what was his point? Everyone who wants to can get saved, no matter how low, how wretched, how wicked, how preposterous their position might be. You see, in religion, you got to work your way up to the elite status. With Jesus, he worked his way down to the bottom line, the lowest sinners there were. And we can praise God for that, because if it wasn't true, we wouldn't be sitting here either, would we? "Go and see," the angel said. "Shepherds, he's right where you can reach him. Touch him. On the ground floor of a poor village without walls. And he'll always be there. Not the baby in the manger, but always reachable, always touchable. Not lofty. Not go to God. God with us came to us while we were still sinners, while we were still his enemies, while we were still children of wrath, while we were dirty and low and shameful and despised. He said, 'I'm going to be born right among you, and that's where you'll find me.' And now he's exalted in heaven, and he's coming back as king. And he's given us that opportunity. Come to him as you are. Worship him where he is. And he will come to rule and reign someday. King of kings and Lord of lords. In the beginning was the Word, Jesus. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made." That's the baby in the manger. "In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. The darkness has not overcome it." There's a question about that word, and it could go either way. But even so, if you look at the entire Christmas story, the darkness was trying to overcome him, and it is not possible. "The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And that's how he came. All that glory in those incredibly humble, even despicable circumstances. Born to obedient parents, obedient to be willing to go to the lowest place just to obey God. That Jesus can take us to be with him, where he is exalted and glorious forevermore. Isn't it amazing? God is full of irony, beauty, and glory. And that's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. Father, thank you for our time. We love you and we bless you. And we worship you and we praise you in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Would you stand, please?